KPFK. And you can also pledge online at kpfk.org. Coming up next, KPFK's special fund drive programming. And coming up at 4 p.m., African music from Africa and the African world on Afrodisia with Namdi.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH, this is The Car Show, brought to you this Saturday and every Saturday here on KPFK 90.7 FM for over 50 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by my favorite co-host in the world, our Orange County Bureau Chief, a practicing attorney, and the owner of not one, but two Mazdas, a Miata and an RX-8, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, Mark. Good to be back in the studio with you to talk about cars.
And we are joined again by our special friend up in the great Northwest, Jack Walsworth from Automotive News, an actual reporter. We are honored to have you. Welcome, Jack.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Michelle. Thanks for having me back on. Fun to be here.
Okay, good. We're going to dive right into it because this is the last of our pledge drive week. And there's a very specific thing we want for Christmas here at KPFK. We don't, you know, that song, All I Want for Christmas Is You, but we do want you, the listeners, to hang around and keep tuning in. But there's one other thing that we want. Michelle, can you tell the listeners what it is that KPFK wants for Christmas?
Top of their wish list, Mark. They need a new transmitter to replace their aging dual vacuum tube transmitter. They've got one, but they need two. So they need one more transmitter. So they are asking that all of our listeners donate to their transmitter fund. And if you would like to do that, you can go ahead and call them at 818-985-5735. And this would keep everything going just as it has been, beaming all throughout Southern California and beyond, to get the KPFK listeners informed on all kinds of subjects, not just about cars.
That's great. Don't they have two transmitters? They have one is the modern solid state one that they got in 2012. And the backup one is the dual vacuum tube transmitter. That is like Cold War era technology. Right. Anybody remember going to the, you guys are too young, going to the, we went to like the grocery store to replace the tubes in the TV set. Anybody remember that?
Uh-uh.
You would pull out all the tubes and put the little stickers on the places where you pulled them out and you would test them. There was a big machine. You'd buy replacement tubes. I am really getting old. Nobody wants to. There's nothing worse than listening to an old guy tell stories about the old days.
Yeah, but we still have fuses in our cars for whatever reason.
We do.
So that technology is not totally gone.
But they're not vacuum tube fuses.
No.
So if you want to help us get a new one of those, please go to kpfk.org or call our donation line, 818-985-5735. There, that's it for a moment. We are done begging for money. We're going to dive right into the calendar. Jack, anything going up in Seattle you want our listeners to know about? Should they fly up for it?
Nothing really automotive related. There's always cool things to do in Seattle, but I should say I'm sure the museum out in Tacoma probably does have some holiday stuff going on, but nothing jumps to mind.
So,
it's also not the ideal time of weather or time of year for Seattle weather. So I'm sure y'all in Southern California got much, much better. So
it is lovely here. It's always lovely. Let's start right off with something that may or may not be happening. We have to check and make sure. Tonight, the Malibu Autobahn has a very special holiday thing that they do. I think they've done this in past years, but it may be up in the air given the recent fires. It's touch and go. So you have to go to MalibuAutobahn.com events and sign up for the Christmas. It's like a Christmas lights cruise. All these cars, they tape Christmas lights, strings of Christmas lights to them, and they all gather in a spot that they have not revealed yet. This spot is still a secret. I signed up for it, hoping to find out where it is, but they won't tell you until just before you head out there. And again, we're not entirely certain because the fires are still going down in the southern, southeastern part of Malibu. So that, I don't know, maybe they'll have it farther up the coast or something, or it might be canceled. But it looks so cool and so Christmassy that I thought it was worth the gamble to list it here. MalibuAutobahn.com/events. So Michelle has something for us that is actually going to happen, come rain or come shine. Michelle.
Yeah, this is for the Porsche people. It's the annual 356 Club Cruise-In at the Peterson Automotive Museum tomorrow, December 15th, from 8 to 11 at 6080 Wilshire Boulevard. It's the fourth year of the 356 Club Cruise-In. You do have to have a ticket in order to show your Porsche. All Porsches are welcome. They wanted everyone to know this. But if you are showing up in a 356, you'll get priority and you'll get to be in the show area. It's $25 to show. And you also get included general museum admission.
And that's generous.
If you are a spectator, you get free parking and bagels and coffee. But you'd have to buy a separate admission to the museum.
Not going to say no to that. And if you want to stick around until, what is it, Monday?
Yeah.
The gingerbread garage workshop, instead of a gingerbread house, the Peterson is having a gingerbread garage workshop from December 16th through the 20th at the Peterson's Discovery Center. Obviously, I think this is more geared toward kids, would you say?
I would say it's also pretty Instagram worthy. Can you imagine all the cute photos with your Santa hat on and you're building a garage with your gingerbread or whatever? They provide you all the candy and all the works you need to make your garage. You do have to have general admission for this, but then you just drop in between 11 and 2 anytime before the 20th. And you don't have to make a reservation or have a special ticket for the garage build workshop.
That might exceed the DMV legal limit for cuteness. So do check with that before you drop in. We'll see. Also, sad news, continuing sad news, Zimmerman Automobile Driving Museum, goodbye as of this month. Thanks for the memories. They held their garage sale this morning. The garage sale was going to be on December 28th. They moved it to this morning. And it's supposed to go on. Michelle, is it going on 10 to 4 until 4 o'clock today?
Another event that they're having going on from 10 to 4 is radio-controlled drift cars. Ooh. Yeah, all day long. It's in the ballroom. You just show up all day.
And that's the last event, right?
There's one more. Found out about one more. They sent me a press release. They're having an all-Cadillac event called Cadillac Fest 13. That's going to be on the 29th. That will be the final hurrah. Sunday, December 29th. It's $25 to register. And you can go on the Automobile Driving Museum website to register.
Great. And let's get all the sad news out of the way. Irwindale still closing. A white knight has not come in. Like all the other 411 times that they said they were going to close and then they changed their minds. Something happened and the track was saved. Nothing has come up yet that shows that Irwindale Speedway is going to be saved. So they are still saying December 21st is the final farewell party at Irwindale Speedway. Yet another Southern California track closing its doors, rolling up the asphalt and going home.
Yeah.
One last time, Saturday, December 21st. It will be what they are calling an unforgettable farewell extravaganza, the home of racing in Southern California for 25 years. Thrilling motorsports action, community spirit, and cherished memories all will be celebrated December 21st with, boy, they got all, just about everything running there. ARCA, Menard, Series West, Pro Late Models, Super Late Models, Modified, Street Stocks, Legends, Enduros, Figure Eights, Jet Car, Burn Down, Trailer Races, Invitation-Only Drift Competitions, and an RV Auto Soccer, including fireworks at the end. So December 21st, IrwinDaleSpeedway.com.
Yeah, hopefully there's tickets still available. So get on this if you really want to do it.
Yeah. Now, Michelle put together a very nice list of holiday car meets. Michelle, why don't you take that one?
Yeah. Okay. You ready? Get your pencils out.
Okay.
Today, still ongoing until 8 o'clock today. It's not too late to show up to the 10th annual cruise at the beach at Redondo Beach Marina. Its address is 245 North Harbor Drive. It's a Christmas car show and a bike show and a toy drive, plus live music and raffles. You might get there if you're still listening to be on time for trophy handouts. There's going to be 25 trophies. So you might get some of those.
Isn't that King Harbor, not Redondo Beach Marina? I think it's called King Harbor.
It is. Yes.
I used to live there.
That's what they told me.
Back when I could afford to live and by the beach. But that sounds good. All right.
Well, I'm a South Bay native.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's King Harbor, but they're saying on their promo stuff, Redondo Beach Marina, which I don't know who wrote it.
Probably some city worker wrote it.
Yeah, some guy from LA. All right. And then also today from noon till 5, if you're driving really fast, you could probably still make it out to the Alex Zitius Holiday Car Show and Memorial and Toy Drive at the SoCal Speed Shop Clubhouse in San Dimas.
Okay. Exidius.
Exidius.
Exidius. Our dear friend Alex passed away. Boy, it's been a few months now. 102 years old, genuine hot rod hero. World War II, greatest generation, flew in B-17s, B-24s, and came home, started the SoCal Speed Shop. And so the SoCal Speed Shop Clubhouse is hosting this. Thanks for finding that out, Michelle. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then tomorrow, there's a couple of events also on the, on December 15th from 9 to noon. There's a Spark of Love toy drive that's put on by Mercifuls SoCal. This does not require any registration. You just pay $20 at the gate. And if you don't want to pay the $20, just bring an unwrapped toy and that will get you in. The velvet rope will move. Trophies will be handed out for Blacktop Magazine pick, the best paint job, the best truck, the best under construction. In other words, your Lancia.
Lancia,
the best of show, and it'll all be at the Long Beach Police Officers Association Park at 7290 East Carson Street down there in Long Beach. So that's another thing. The last one I had was on a Sunday from 8 to 11. G's on Sunday. Now, G's on Sunday gets together all the time, but this is a special meet for the toy drive at George's Burger Stand down there in Boyle Heights. Their address is 2311 Cesar Chavez Avenue. And you can bring anything you want, but they actually have a theme for this Sunday. It's dad drives, dad cars. So if you have a van or an SUV or a station wagon or anything with a child seat in it, they'll let you be in the primo position in the parking lot. And it will be open. George's Burger Stand apparently has some really awesome French fries with pastrami on top. If you can handle that for breakfast.
That's offered in conjunction with the coronary surgeons of Southern California.
Yes. And they're going to have
diabetes practitioners.
Yeah. Too. So just have a few.
I don't know. Vans, SUVs, and station wagons. I don't know, man. I'm not feeling excited. Am I missing it here?
No, because you can still show up in your awesome slammed Impala and everyone will.
Oh, so they'll probably have some really nice lowriders.
Yes, absolutely. This is one of those meets where you'll see a lot of lowriders.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. And like the ones that are exhibited at the Peterson Museum still now.
Cool.
Still one of the greatest museum exhibits I've ever seen in my entire life is that lowrider show at the Peterson. And I'm hoping. Yeah, I could probably get out to this one. G's on Sunday.
Yeah. So go to their, here's what you can do. If you want to see what kind of cars usually show up, go to gsonsunday.com. It's their website. And it has all their listings of not just this event, but they have a thing at the top says like events that are coming up or something like that.
Okay.
And, but
good. And then let's scroll down to the Vintage Japanese Motor Union Gathering New Year's Day at their clubhouse. Another Michelle find. Thank you, Michelle. You're doing the Lord's work this week. 611 Anderson Street in downtown LA at 12 noon, January 1st. This is New Year's Day, so we're skipping ahead a couple of weeks and letting you plan out things. It's a one-year anniversary party, and it says, bring your ride, hang out, buy parts.
Right. Yeah, this is a group that just started a year ago, and the reason why I know about it is just because of Seven Stock and all the people I know through my car club with my RX-8. So it's not only for old school rotaries, but it's all kinds of old school, you know, old Datsuns or old Subarus or whatever you have. Go ahead and show up there. It'll be really fun. These are really cool guys.
That'd be nice. So you're going to go, Michelle?
I'm thinking about it. Yeah, but I don't have a vintage. It's not quite vintage yet. It's only 20 years old.
That's close enough.
Yeah.
Show up. Yeah, that's neat. I wish I'm not going to be in town on that date, but I would like to go to that. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. And what do we got? We got In-N-Out Burger too.
Okay. So this is a really important event. This is in January. It's on the 18th, and this is going to be an all-day thing. It's a foundation fundraiser through the In-N-Out Burger Foundation, but there's another foundation called Slave to Nothing, and it helps combat human trafficking. So it starts off with a cruise in Huntington Beach to the Orange County Fairgrounds. Then they'll have lunch at the Orange County Fairgrounds with the In-N-Out trucks, and they're going to have raffles, and then they're going to have a dinner and a live auction. And you can only go if you're over 12, just because it's kind of heavy subject matter. But you can go ahead and register. There's all kinds of different, what I call it, like ticket levels or opportunities on their website. So if you want,
because it's a charity, so there's different ways to donate by buying a better ticket. Yeah.
But I'll say this, that there was one that was $8,000 to buy a table and at the dinner, and it's all sold out. So if you want to sponsor a table, the only level left is $4,500.
Okay.
And if you just want to do
the four.
Table of four. Yeah. Okay. And so this is a huge fundraiser. If you want to do the car show, the cruise, and the dinner for two, just, you know, you and your friend, that's $300. Yeah. So $100 just for one person and one car show entry, but not the cruise. So you just have to go to their website and check it out.
And what's the website again?
I knew you'd ask me that, and I don't have it.
I don't see it. We'll find it before the end of the hour, maybe, and we'll.
We will. Oops, and I spelled fairgrounds wrong. Why don't we say go to Google?
Maybe OC Fairgrounds website.
It could be, but I know I looked at their website, so I'd go cruising
to
freedom.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. And while you're figuring it out, you at home can call and make a generous donation to the KPFK Transmitter Fund, because vacuum tubes are not the way to go. We need something better than a vacuum tube. We need you to help support KPFK by calling 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org and make a generous donation to keep us transmitting. I think we have 112,000 watts up on top of Mount Wilson, just beep, 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 beep. It's just all over Southern California. I bet you Jack can even get the station up in Seattle. Jack, have you ever tried 90.7 FM?
I haven't yet, but I will do that this weekend when I'm out driving.
Yes.
I'll report back next time. So
so we need your help, and we need your donations, and it's the end of the year. You might even be eligible for a tax credit. Consult your tax professional. But by all means, call 818-985-5735. 5735 or go to kpfk.org. Now we're on to the news, and Jack is going to help us out here because there's big news at the big three, one of the big three. Looks like a major shakeup there. Jack, what have you heard about this?
Sure. So Stellantis, which of course is the creation of what was Fiat Chrysler and PSA from France, merged back in January 21, created this huge car company with, you know, 14 different brands across North America and Europe. And the man largely responsible for the deal, Carlos Tavares, been in the news a lot. There's been a lot of executive churn. My colleague Vince Bond Jr. Auto News has been covering it at the forefront. A lot of execs have left, have retired, moved on, and a lot of dealers, the UAW, were not happy with the way Carlos Tavares was running the company. And on December 1st, it was a surprise, he resigned, or he left his post, which he was going to leave. And there was a timeline when he was going to depart the company, but that got bumped up. So now Stellantis is looking for a new CEO. And as you can imagine, trying to find someone who can lead 14 different brands across several continents is no easy task. Replacement as of recording hasn't been found, but we'll see what's going to happen there. I mean,
now, one thing I heard and that we ran a story on at autoweek.com was that Tavares was against the Hemi and he wanted the Hemi just out, removed. You know, he's a European. He doesn't understand a big American V8, the traditional Hemi, and that was one of the things that he was against. And I don't know if that was why he was fired, but his anti-Hemi sentiment certainly did not help him at all. Now, who's this guy, John Elkann? He is the Stellantis chairman now,
yes.
And he was in Auburn Hills, Michigan, and also in Modena, Italy, where they have Maserati, one of their brands. But he was in Auburn Hills, walking around, shaking hands, reassuring dealers, everything's going to be fine. He's an interesting guy. He's, what is he, the great-grandson of Johnny Agnelli? So he's part of the Agnelli family, which is kind of like being part of the Ford family, I guess. It's for the Italian version of the Ford family. Anybody who watched Ford v. Ferrari would certainly know that those two companies have a long family history of running car companies. And boy, that is tough. I don't know. It's like you said, Jack, there's so many different brands in there. They have brands that they don't sell here in the U.S. They have just all kinds of affiliated brands. And then here we've got, you know, what does Chrysler have? Chrysler is down to a minivan. Dodge is one of the cars we're going to talk about later in the hour is, of course, the fabulous Dodge Charger. What is it? What's the full name of that? I'm scrolling down to see the name of the Dodge Charger that they're making.
The Daytona is that's the EV one, right? Yeah,
that's right. The EV one. So they're making a muscle car out of electricity. It's a strange, strange time for Stellantis. I don't know how they're going to pull it off. What do you think, Jack?
You know, it's hard to predict the future. I will say, kind of going back to the Hemi component, there was some interesting news this week or earlier in the week as well. Tim Kaniskis, who used to run the Dodge and Ram brands, he retired. He's now come back to Stellantis as the Ram CEO. This was a big deal for the U.S. in particular because Kaniskis is held really highly by dealers, by enthusiasts. He kind of seems to be an executive that gets the car enthusiast. So we'll see what impact that has. I mean, obviously Ram is a super important brand. That was one of the reasons why Stellantis formed in the first place is because Ram makes a ton of money, super profitable product pools. So now that he's back, you know, it'll be really curious how that impacts, but you know, that one executive can only do so much when there's so many brands, so much, coverage across the globe. So we'll see if other execs come back or if other familiar faces maybe get bumped up. Rest assured, check out autonews.com. My colleague, like I said, Vince Bond Jr. has been running coverage on this. We also have folks in Europe covering that side of it. So I feel like it's going to be a very newsy rest of December with Stellantis for sure. So definitely stay tuned on those fronts.
Yeah, the whole plan was to go all electric. I mean, they had it all laid out. They had the platforms. What was it? It's, 3-car platforms and 1 full-size truck body-on-frame platform. And, you know, what's going to happen with all that? That's still up in the air. Will there be a Chrysler? You know, and if so, what will it have? And Dodge, is that going to go? Are they going to keep up with the electric transition that they had so earnestly touted up until now? You're right. This is all going to unfold in the next, 6 months or so. We're going to know. We wish them the best, because there's a lot of people who love the Chrysler brand and the great cars that came from that. Of course, there were people who loved Plymouth, and look what happened to them. So,
right.
And Dodge, I don't know. I did not drive. We're going to talk in a minute about the Dodge Charger Daytona, the EV muscle car. But I did not drive that yet. But does that carry off the history of these brands? You know, can they do it? Who knows? We'll see.
Yep.
So next up, what do you want to talk about, you guys? We have so much going on. Did you know Motor Trend was bought by Hearst? Did you hear that?
Yeah, how about that? That was a headline to read.
So Auto Week, where I work, was once owned by Crane Communications, where Jack works.
Yep.
And 5 years ago, it was purchased by Hearst, and then Hearst just went ahead and bought Motor Trend and several different titles there. I believe they got Hot Rod and a few other things. And what's that mean? What's going on? Media is transitioning. I think it's all going to come down to radio. I think that's going to be the last media standing. What do you think?
Oh boy, no.
It'll be just us. We'll have all the power.
Yeah. Well, there's a consolidation in the industry. That usually means that the big guys are taking advantage of weak spots, gobbling them up, and then they get stronger. And it's a good, if I was working for one of those publications, I think I'd be happy.
I sent Ed Lowe, editor of Motor Trend, a note saying, does this mean you're going to fire me or I'm going to fire you? And he replied with a little heart emoji.
Oh, very nice. Nice touch.
What a nice guy. Okay.
I would use this though to plug, you know, if you can subscribe to your favorite publication, always do that, whether it's for cars, you know, if you make whatever interests you, if you can always subscribe, that helps us people like Mark and I stay employed in media. So
what does it cost to subscribe to Automotive News, Jack?
It depends. We have different levels. If you want to do a monthly subscription, you can do that. That's about $25. A year of print is about $300. We do have digital only options, which we do have specials. So check out autonews.com/subscribe. Lots of stuff there. But
I want that year-end sheet of data that says what the car sales were in North America, light vehicle sales. Yes. Can you forward that to me?
Right. Yeah, we need that. But, you know, keep legitimate journalists in business. That's the best way to do it, instead of influencers.
And keep KPFK in business by calling 818-985-5735 or going to kpfk.org and make a generous donation. Believe me, transmitters are not cheap. Solid state transmitters don't grow on trees. They are, I don't know where they're made or how they're made or what they're made of, but by golly, we need your help. So don't be shy about that. 818-985-5735. And if you donate now, I think we get some kind of credit for it. The car show does. So now's the time to do it if you want to help out the car show. Do not be shy. And if you don't want to be shy, yes, Michelle?
Don't forget too, Mark, that if you have an extra vehicle sitting around at the end of the year, you can donate it to kpfk.org and get rid of it and get a tax credit, which you need to let your tax preparer or other tax professional know to see if you can get a deduction for it. But KPFK does accept car donations.
They're very good. Very good. Do not donate your 2024 Dodge Charger Daytona, because it's not out yet. And my colleague, Wesley Wren, who is back in Detroit, I think he got to drive the thing. the 2024 Dodge Charger Daytona. We were talking about what is the future of this Stellantis and all of its brands. It could be this. It has a 100 kilowatt hour battery pack, which feeds two drive modules on the base model Charger Daytona, and that makes 496 horsepower to the wheels. So the 2024 Scat Pack has 670 horsepower. So this is, now we saw this thing, I think it was a year or two ago at SEMA. Does anybody remember that? I think that's where we first saw the concept car version of this. And now they've got running prototypes and whatnot. The Dodge Charger Daytona will start at $61,590 with the Scat Pack at $75,000, and that includes the mandatory cost option Track Pack for the first year models. This is kind of a huge departure for this division that was known for muscle cars, for Hemi powered V8 rear drive muscle cars
with noise.
Right,
with yeah. noise.
Well, engine they still noise. Make, what yeah. are they going to do about the engine noise?
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm not a fan of those fake engine noise things that you see sometimes. It's just I would rather just make the transition. And if, you know, whatever noise it's going to make, usually it's click, whir, you know. And then, of course, tire squeal, because this thing really can light up the back tires. I don't know, man. I don't know. The world is changing. I don't like it. I want to go back to...
And they're not going to have a stick shift in that either.
No, because there's only one speed. There's a reduction gear from the electric motors, and then that's it. So
you're in a fancy golf cart.
Oh, now don't use the golf cart analogy. That's a tired cliche. Golf carts don't have 670 horsepower, do they?
If they're a fancy one, yeah, sure.
Oh, Michelle.
Well, same with the Mach-E, right? We saw this with the Mach-E. People were going, what is going on? You can't call this a Mustang. The Mustangs have power and they have style and they're cool. And this is an SUV and it's electric. Ah.
Well, both Kia and
they're selling.
Both Kia and Hyundai have hot rod electric vehicles. And I've driven them and they are, in fact, quick. So. Yes. Quick and fast, a part of it is engaging the gear with a manual transmission, letting out the clutch at the right rate, and mm-hmm. lighting up the tires.
Don't forget handling and the whole driving experience. Whereas with EVs, it's mostly if you're all into horsepower, that's just one element. It's not the complete driving experience.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, it gets 308 miles range.
That's not terrible.
Well, it's not terrible.
We had this. I was having dinner with John McElroy and Carl Brower last night, and we were having this big discussion about, you know, range, and it's never enough range and all this. And I said, I think what's going to happen in the future is it's going to be fashionable to have a smaller battery because it makes less of an environmental impact, and you don't need a big battery. At some point, people are going to realize that they don't drive to Las Vegas and back every day. And that really they only need, like my Mitsubishi iMiEV, the little electric car that could, 16 kilowatt hour battery. It is down now to about 50 miles range after 103,000 miles. So, but that meets the majority of the driving needs of almost everybody in Los Angeles. Now you're going to say, oh, but my Uncle Fred, he commutes from Corona to Santa Monica. What about him, man? Okay, Fred, don't buy that car. But
right, get a hybrid.
Yep.
Get a hybrid. That was Carl Brower, our friend and sometime co-host. He that was his what he said. He said hybrids are the way to go. But I guess we could mm-hmm. argue on and on about this forever.
You know what I was going to say too, with your theory that smaller batteries might be the wave of the future. Right now at UCLA, to get ready for the Olympics, they put electric charging in the ground so that e-buses can charge while they are driving the athletes back and forth. So again, why do you need a gigantic battery if that technology becomes widely available in metro areas.
Right. Do you happen to know how long a distance that charging is?
Yeah, it's a couple miles long.
That's impressive. That is really impressive. The one thing I heard is that there is a demo fleet of semi-trucks. I think Mercedes is doing it in Germany. And you know how in Europe, the electric trains, they have those scissors things that go up and connect with the overhead wire to get electricity and make the train go. I heard that Mercedes is doing something, an experimental section of roadway like that to power electric semi-trucks. And that, I think, makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. You know, you're driving across Kansas. You know, they do this all over Europe. They have these electric overhead wires. Why not make them accessible to all these big trucks that are going? I don't know. Seems like an obvious thing, but we'll see. The future's coming, man. I think we're right in the middle of it right now. I'm not going to live to see it, but young Jack Walsworth will. He'll be around. So
yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
Write us into it, okay, Jack, when you're writing.
Yep.
And track that progress.
Yep.
100 years from now.
Yes.
Automotive news.
Yep. Still all be right. Kicking.
All right. How about let's move on to an exciting American victory at the Nürburgring. The 2025 Ford Mustang GTD did a lap of the Nürburgring. Guess how fast they went? Who knows? Who wants to guess?
Wasn't it 6:57?
Okay, you read it. All right. Yes, it's 6:57. Which is, you know, obviously under 7 minutes. That's a big deal. It wasn't for a production, a so-called production car. Now, how many of these are they going to produce? I don't know. But the Ford Mustang FTD, 815 horsepower. It's the first road-going production car from the United States to break the seven-minute barrier at the Nürburgring. And Ford tracked the entire journey to this record in a documentary that you can watch called Road to the Ring. So congratulations, we say, to Ford for doing that, getting that done.
One thing who's the driver? I forgot.
You know, I don't see who it is. Usually it's an engineer. Usually they have some hotshoe engineer who just has that track memorized and dialed. But you can go to YouTube and Ford Mustang GTD, just Google that or search that at the YouTube channel. And, you know, they're saying that the latest Chevrolet Corvette ZR1 might be also able to get under the 7 minute club, but it has not made the run yet. Ford went out and did it.
I was going to say, I'll be curious how long that's number stays. Cause
yeah,
it seems like Ford or Chevy is going to be going after each other if one gets it.
Well, was it a year or 2 years ago that a Camaro did, it was over 7 minutes, but it was still kind of low 7 minutes.
Yeah.
That they did a Nürburgring record time. That's pretty impressive. That's sort of becoming the standard of the world is your Nürburgring time. Now they were at like 7:02 for a long time and they knew they could do it. And they got everybody together and got ready several times, and several times it rained. So obviously you're not going to go under 7 minutes in the rain. But they finally got a clear day, a sunny day, and they did 657.685. If you want to be the master of trivia, remember all those numbers, 657.685.
Yeah. Oh. All right.
Who's ever had a Mustang? Anybody?
Mm-mm. No. Haven't been that cool, so.
I've driven a lot of Mustang press cars. My favorite was the, what were the three, the three letters that made up the special, projects year?
SVR?
No, after that. Anyway, that was really fun. It was in the '90s. It was the last of the Fox body Mustangs. You can get a 5-speed manual transmission and I just thought that was a wonderful setup. Great, great bang for the buck, as they say, and as we are saying right now. And if you're looking for great bang for the buck, consider KPFK, your source for so much information that you won't get anywhere else. And we are trying to give you all the best that we can of the car information as the world makes its transition from 120 years of internal combustion to what may be an electric future. If you want to support that and all the other great programming here at KPFK, please call 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org. And we are going to go now to Seattle, where our good friend Jack got into two very interesting European cars. Take it away, Jack.
Sure. Yeah. So I've had some pretty good fortune this last month with the press fleet, I would say. So right before the LA Auto Show, when I got to see Mark, I was in sunny Scottsdale to drive the new Bentley Flying Spur Speed, which if you've seen a Flying Spur the last 3-4 years, it looks just like that, but it has a new hybrid powertrain underneath the skin. It is Bentley's Ultra Performance Hybrid, which is, for Bentley, a pretty big deal. So this is going to be their new powertrain for the Flying Spur and the Continental GT Coupe and Convertible, which I know are quite popular in the LA area, which is a huge market for Bentley. But it's super cool. So it's a V8, but it is a plug-in hybrid. And for the Flying Spur and Continental, they're starting with the Speed, which, if you know, Bentley's Speed is top of the performance chart. It used to be with a W12 from the olden days, but Bentley has moved on from that. So they're starting with the new plug-in V8. And yeah, it was super fun to drive, more power than you'll ever need. But it's also interesting because the Flying Spur is super heavy because Bentley uses a lot of heavy materials, a lot of sound deadening, and it can still move like a freight train. We drove from Scottsdale up to Sedona and back. So it was about 300 miles of driving of seat time. Super comfortable. It's got massaging seats. It's got ventilated, all that good stuff. I mean, it should when the car costs close to $300,000, but super, super fun. The one I was driving was orange with black, so it was not subtle at all. I personally don't know if I would go with that combination if I was specking my own Bentley.
I like that on you. I think, Jack, that's your style.
Yeah.
Up there in Seattle, the hippies would hate you. They'd throw their hacky sacks at you.
Yeah. Nope.
They would not be able to deal with it. You know, I got to drive that same car in Switzerland last, October or September, October. It was, I've always loved this car. You know, they keep tweaking it just a little bit here and there, and they keep saying it's all new. And I don't even care because I get to drive it. And you're right, it is a heavy car, but it manages that weight so well. Mm-hmm. We were up driving through the Alps, and just we had the top down, even though it was cold. You just blast the heater on it, and top speed of 208 miles per hour. I did not do 208 in the Alps. But the transition to hybrid power, this is, maybe they listened to Carl Brower. They consulted with him.
Yeah.
And
it's super interesting because Bentley was going to go all EV. They had a pretty aggressive timeline. Now they're going to lean more on the hybrid in the near term and largely on this powertrain. So, you know, more to come on that. They're going to have more models coming out next year and the years to follow. But yeah. Well, interesting times of Bentley.
It is a great car. 771 horsepower, 738 pound-feet of torque. That's 121 horsepower increase, I think. Yes.
Pregunta, was there any new luxury features that you were impressed by?
Yes, there was, actually. So this was kind of fun. So the Flying Spur is a sedan, obviously. And in the rear, for the rear passengers, they have what they call wellness seating. So you can get like massaging on your back. You're, you know, just that way, so you feel more comfortable. But the way they have it set up is it's all a touch screen right above the vents, and you can pull it out. It's almost like a little phone, basically. But that was something Bentley took out of the Bentayga, which is their SUV, the long wheelbase. So they brought that in to the Flying Spur. That's new. So it's kind of a cool party trick. And if you're being driven around, it makes it even more an enjoyable experience. But and there's a couple other things, like there, and this is in the Continental as well, but there's a feature that tracks the air quality. So if you're driving through like a tunnel or an area with a ton of smoke or smog, it blocks that stuff out. So
if you're in a tunnel full of smoke, you better get out of there, I think.
Right. Yeah. But no, it is curious because they're always, you know, it seems like these automakers in that realm are always trying to think of new things to, you know.
There was mine had a heated neck blower. Ooh. That you could ride with the top down and it would blow hot air around your neck. It did not work on my car, making me question whether had I spent $302,100 right. on this and my neck blower didn't work, I might be miffed.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yep.
Mine had this wonderful purple. It was purple exterior and a purple accents on the inside. Ooh. Ooh. That just it looked so cool. I mean, this is sort of like a Morticia Adams kind of colors. It was just lovely. It was fantastic. But we got another. This is not the only clever European vehicle that we have to review. Both Jack and I drove this next one. Jack, take it away.
Sure. So the other thing I was driving after the Flying Spur was the Ineos Grenadier, which is also European. They make them in France. Ineos is a new company. They are out of the UK. Some of the listeners might have seen them already. They're pretty popular in Southern California. It looks like an old Land Rover Defender, but just modernized. Super bulky, big, blocky, meant to go off-roading, all that good stuff. Actually got to drive it from Seattle to my aunt and uncle in Montana for Thanksgiving. So did the.
How was that?
It was cool. It's like an
eight drive night. Was good.
Yeah. So we split it up into 2 days going there, stopped in Spokane. That way it was about halfway. And then on the way back, we did in one sitting and it made for a long day, but it's super pretty driving through Northern Idaho. Once you get to Montana, it's like.
What did you think about the steering on that thing? Did you notice anything about the steering?
Yes, the steering was interesting. It's really noticeable when it's windy. So driving in Eastern Washington, the night going there was super windy, and I was like fighting with it the entire time, basically, because it's circulating ball steering. So you really have to have both hands on the wheel. You know, not white knuckling it or anything, but you just really have to make sure you got. You know, you got directed where you want it to be. So that after the first day, I got more comfortable with it, but it was definitely kind of like a acclimation period of like,
Now I didn't have as much time in one as you did, but I have on several different occasions driven the Ineos Grenadier and the Quartermaster pickup truck that they came out with. Yep. And that steering just with a looseness on center. Everything else about the thing I liked. I like all those overhead switches and you can add lights and, it's all ready to accommodate all these different, what would you call them, functions that you can add to it. I liked everything about it, except I thought that on-center steering feel was a deal killer. I don't know. Yeah. But apparently it didn't bother you. So that's why it's good to have a couple of different voices on these things.
Right. Yep. But yeah, it was fun. And, you know, it's not every day I get to spend a week with something like that, but it was a good real life use case.
And those are EVs.
No, they're gas.
No. That's a BMW straight six. Yep.
Oh.
And that's the other downside, I would say. The gas mileage is pretty tough.
What did you get?
Kind of varied. On the way there, I did about 16 MPGs, which is not great.
16 obviously. Is not good.
Nope. But on the way going back to Seattle, it was even worse. So I was closer.
It was upwind, uphill, something.
Yeah, something like that. So I was closer to 15. So that part of it is, I mean, to be fair, they're not meant to be driven on freeways for hours on end. That wasn't like the use case, but people are going to use them like that too. So, but yeah, Not eco-friendly by any stretch.
Yeah.
So.
I've started seeing them here in the wild in Orange County.
Mm-hmm. I've seen them. In fact, I was out in the, not the middle of nowhere, but Roer Flats, which is an off-road area. It's kind of like the way Hungry Valley is. Mm-hmm. And halfway out there on a dirt road, parked on the side of the road, was an Ineos Grenadier. Oh, cool. And you see them around town here, too. At first glance, you think it's some kind of Land Rover product, but then you realize it's not. And I guess that's the uniqueness that owners strive for. They want to stand out from the crowd. They want to be different.
Yes.
Yep. And it was a company founded by a British billionaire, Sir James Ratcliffe. Now, as of 2020, the last time I looked it up, Bloomberg listed him at $28 billion. He made that in chemicals. That's what they say. I don't know. But they were sitting around lamenting the loss of the Land Rover Defender at the time. And that they, because this was 2016 when they were in a pub called the Grenadier. The name of the pub was the Grenadier. Uh-huh. And they drew this up, of course, on a cocktail napkin where all the best ideas come from.
Yep.
And by golly, here we are now driving Grenadiers around the country.
Yep. So, and reciting that story, I must have told that probably half a dozen times in the week I had it.
Oh, you did?
A lot of people still don't know what INEOS is. I mean, it's still relatively such a new car company that that's part of the brand's, one of their biggest challenges is brand recognition, because people don't, the INEOS name, unless you watch Formula One or bicycle racing, you probably haven't heard of it. So
yeah, INEOS is a sponsor, of course, of the Mercedes F1 yes. team.
Yep.
And they were sponsors back when they were winning. So
yeah.
yep. The word got out, but it got out sort of in Europe. So they're
yeah.
they're here in the U.S. now, and go buy your, I don't know where the local dealer is in L.A.
I've got a few to choose from. There's one in Pasadena. There's one in Irvine. And then there's one closer to San Diego. So I think there's also one in San Francisco. So the California's got, like,
is there one up in Seattle?
There is. Yep. Not too far from me. And I have been seeing them, more of them, within the last like 3 months running around town. So, which as a city car, I couldn't do it. Street park, one of those things, I would lose all my hair. So,
but what, just worried? You're worried about it being vandalized or something?
Oh, no, it's just like the roads are super narrow here in Seattle and tight turns. And
there's no parking.
Yep. Nope. No parking.
I've driven around a lot looking for parking in Seattle.
I've never walked more.
Most of these are going to be driven in the city, urban and suburban areas. So I don't know. But I did like that BMW straight six, 3.0 liter turbocharged straight six, 282 horsepower, 332 pound feet of torque. So it's not like, you know, monster truck numbers. It's not going to just leap up and impress you that way, but the drivetrain was adequate. It's about 6,000 pounds curb weight, and so your 0 to 60 is only 8.3 seconds. So, yeah, it's not you don't want to take it to the grudge matches.
Yeah, so it's not for drag racing.
It's not for drag racing, and this next car is not for drag racing either. I got to drive the VW Taos. Now, I think our colleague Carl Bauer last week was talking about the Tiguan, right?
Yep.
Okay, so this I got to drive the Taos earlier this week in San Antonio, Texas, and it's just a mid-cycle facelift, really. It's got some new headlights, taillights, sort of a new grille. It gets what VW is calling a bold new look. Upgraded technology, 16 more horsepower. So it goes, I think, from 158 horsepower to 174 horsepower from the 1.5 liter turbo engine. And, you know, I drove it around in Texas, in the Texas Hill Country, some nice, surprisingly nice roads up there. And it sits on the MQB platform, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I should remember this. Jack clarifying that. So it's
when in doubt, MQB with the current Volkswagen. So.
Yeah, you pretty much can't go wrong just saying Volkswagen is on the MQB platform, but it's an excellent platform on which to sit. I mean, it's what the Golf and the GTI sit on, and you do have that sensors. It's kind of a firm suspension. You can go around corners, and it's a nice little setup. I really enjoyed my time in the Taos. Goes from, thank goodness, it's not a CVT transmission. The all-wheel drive model has an 8-speed conventional automatic transmission in place of the previous DSG dual clutch automatic. So you can get an actual automatic. Imagine when now we've come to a point in automotive history where we are looking forward to an automatic transmission, just because CVTs are so awful.
Right. Funny enough, I was also in San Antonio this week driving the Taos. We just missed each other. But
Okay. And what were your thoughts?
Yep. Similar thoughts. I drive a Golf All-Track. It's about 8 years old. And, you know, I wouldn't say the Taos was as fun to drive as that, just because it's not a Golf. But it was, you know, it felt like a Volkswagen. You know, it's not a speed demon, but you know, it seemed competent. I would say one thing I did like, our tester had the blue leather interior, which...
Yeah.
Super fun.
Really?
You
would want to live with that?
Grounds look good, but I did have that conversation with my drive partner. Living with it initially, I think I'd be cool with it. I don't know after like 8 years if I would still feel the same. But I give Volkswagen credit for doing something different because they could have just done black and gray or black and beige or something like that. So,
That's probably one of the choices, right? It's not the
not the standard option. But if you want a blue interior, that is possible. So
I think I had a Lexus tester that had a blue interior.
Ooh.
And I drove it to San Diego and took it to a hotel, and the valet said he wanted the car instantly. It was a young guy. He wanted the car because of the blue interior.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, here, go ahead. Have it, buddy.
Have it. Remember of course you don't remember, the Corvette in the early 60s had a blue, Corvette Stingray had a blue leather interior. And I could just imagine myself sticking to it in the summer.
It must have been the pleather.
Yeah,
I don't know what it was, but
some people like those colored interiors, and mm-hmm. and they were a big thing in the 50s, right?
What was the interior of your orange Bentley, Jack? Do you remember the color?
It was black with orange detail. So like
the
orange matched the exterior color.
A few months ago, I had the Aston Martin. What is it? The DBX. That had an orange leather interior and orange carpet and orange everything. It was
orange carpet. That's tough.
It was neat to sit in for a day, but perhaps not to own.
Right.
But then, I'm not in that demographic, and there are people who are in that demographic who like those colors. And that's why Baskin Robbins
has 31 flavors.
31 flavors.
Because not everybody's the artiste, right? Some of us just like things that are chill.
That's right. And all we ask of you, whether you're an artist or not, is to please support KPFK and get us this new transmitter for Christmas. We need it. How often do we come begging you for money? Okay, a lot. But that's the nature of independent journalism of the type that you see here and that you get here at KPFK. We are not commercially supported. We don't have to say nice things about anybody. We don't have to say mean things about anybody. We just say what we think and hope that you enjoy it. The number to call to support that kind of journalism is 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org. All we need is one more transmitter, Michelle.
Just wanted to say, don't forget that you can also donate your car, number one, and you can call KPFK or go on their website, kpfk.org. And any time of the year, whether we're in a pledge drive or not, you can go ahead and go to their website and click on their various options for making a donation of a vehicle, making a donation monetarily, or whatever suits you. Okay?
Okay. Or just drop a bag of cash off at KPFK headquarters. I think they moved to Glendale now, so... don't be shy.
And one more thing. Earlier I had mentioned about the Slave to Nothing Foundation's fundraiser. Yes. Okay, here's the website. It's Cruisin' to Freedom, and it's cruisin' with the number 2, freedom.
Okay, good.
All right.
And we are setting you free, dear listeners, for the next week. Jack, we thank you for... connecting all the way up from Seattle
to
be on the show and bring us your automotive insight from Automotive News. Michelle, as always.
Wadsworth from Auto Week. Yay.
Auto Week and AutoWeek.com. And we will see you guys next week here on The Car Show.
Hi, this is Dennis Bernstein. I host and produce the daily investigative news magazine, Flashpoints. Heard now, here at listener-sponsored free speech radio, KPFK. On Flashpoints, we believe our job is to monitor the centers of power and report to the people. On Flashpoints, we travel to the crossroads where history is being made, and we take careful notes for you. We are your whistleblowing free speech canary in the coal mine of corporate disinformation. And we are asking you to support our work, to work with us, to become our producers. Please give us a call or a click to let us know our work is important to you, that you believe with us that the free flow of information is power. We're humbly asking you to put your money where your beliefs are and support truly free, independent radio. That number, 818-985-5735. 818-985-5735, or just click at kpfk.org and join there. Thank you.
Hi, I'm